Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everybody. Today we are cracking open Chapter 16 of Dungeons & Drums, Back to School.
And let me tell you, R, this episode hits different. It's got everything. Nostalgia, heist movie tropes, financial anxiety, and one extremely questionable fashion choice.
Oh, we are definitely getting to the fashion choices. But let's set the scene first. It's the evening of 30 Elent. The crew is...
hungover.
Severely hungover. They're nursing headaches on the docks, but they have a mission. They have this mysterious bottle from Jarlaxle, and they need to analyze it to find the source of the Green Lotus.
And usually, in D&D, when you need to analyze a potion, you roll an arcana check. But this group, they decide to commit identity theft.
It's fantastic. They run into these second-year alchemy students. And the way they get disguises is pure chaos. They essentially gaslight these poor college kids.
Tuki, Gabbage, and Delnus basically convince these students that they're already high, scam them out of their robes, and send them walking home. It is effectively a heist on innocent civilians.
For the greater good, supposedly. But while the main group is doing that, Doug, our chaotic wild card, has wandered off to the yawning portal and runs into a very big celebrity cameo.
Volo, the Volafamp Getarm.
The very man who gave them Trollskull Manor.
Yeah, and he's looking rough. He's like that uncle who owes you money but still pitches you a business idea at Thanksgiving. He's broke, waiting on publisher dues for Spooks and Spectres, and he asks Doug for a casual 1,000 gold loan.
I love the transaction here. It's give me 1,000 gold and I will do some research for you and give you a signed first edition. It feels like a Patreon tier gone wrong.
But honestly, having Volo as your personal researcher is actually pretty high value. If Doug actually pays up, that's a power move.
True. So the party regroups at the School of Magic, and this is where we get into the character work. Tuki is walking back onto a campus where he failed.
Yeah, we find out about his mentor, Crispus Cremus, who was medically retired because of Tuki. That stings. We also get clarity on Tuki's academic goal. Reverse alchemy.
Turning gold into not gold.
Economically disastrous, philosophically fascinating. It's very gnome-coded. But we have to talk about Doug's disguise. While everyone else has student robes, Doug uses magic to disguise himself as the dean of the School of Magic.
And his perception of a high-ranking academic authority figure involves jorts.
Just jean shorts. That is what Doug thinks power looks like. And the best part, nobody questions it. If you walk with enough confidence and denim, doors open for you.
It works. They get into the library, and this is the deep dive investigation segment. They find a treatise on the Green Lotus.
This is a lore dump. The lotus needs shade, mist, and it glows bluish green and hums. But the smoking gun isn't the plant, it's the library card.
Exactly. Who checked it out last? SW. Schemo Weird Bottle.
We suspected Schemo for a while, but this cements it. He checked out books on the Lotus, explosives, and maps of farmlands around Waterdeep. Specifically, a page regarding Undercliff was torn out.
Classic villain move, never leave the book intact. But before they leave, Tuki has a moment. He bumps into Edmund Bearclaw, his old mentor's successor. I actually found this really touching, amidst the jorts and heist antics.
Totally. It grounded Tuki. He's not just a goofball. He's an academic who cares. But they don't have time to weep over spilled potions. They head to Undercliff, stop for late night flapjacks. Relatable. And that's when the plot kicks into overdrive.
Delnus spots a suspicious carriage. It's got a tarp. It's got a weird glow coming from underneath. And the driver looks like a villain straight out of casting. Blonde, pale, dark lighting attire.
And a symbol of a black snake painted on the wagon? That's never the symbol of the Guild of Happy Philanthropists. That's a bad guy logo.
So we enter the chase sequence, and this is where D&D shines, because everyone tries to be cool, and the dice tell a different story.
Gabbage goes MVP mode, wild shapes into a hawk to distract the driver. Brilliant.
Delnus and Tuki sneak onto the back of the moving wagon. Smooth.
And then there's Doug. Art, please explain to me why Doug is wearing two capes?
Because he's Doug. He tries to run for the wagon and trips over his own double cape setup, falling into the bushes. He literally no-capes himself.
Incredible. So the wagon gets away, enters this misty gate to Snow Beetle Orchard. Doug has to hop a wall to catch up. They are now deep in enemy territory.
And the atmosphere shifts here. It goes from funny flapjack stakeout to legitimate horror thriller. They're in a misty orchard, the plants are humming, and they see two figures at the farmhouse.
We have the skinny blonde driver and a larger, heavier human with a widow's peak and a thick drawl. The dialogue overheard is tense. They talk about the goods, but then the skinny guy gets spooked.
He sensed garbage earlier. He knows something is off. And just as they're unloading...
Wait a minute, what's that noise?
And the heavier guy drops the line that ends the session. Looks like we have ourselves some visitors.
Chills. We ended on a stealth failure cliffhanger. The best kind of cliffhanger.
It really highlights the theme of this chapter. You can study all you want. You can disguise yourself as a dean, but eventually you have to roll initiative.
Or at least roll a dexterity save to not trip over your second cape. Can't wait to see how they fight their way out of this one next week.